Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, as we'll cover that, Cuervo will be calling in hopefully soon, the fine co-host of this program. But lots of things going on as there's games going on. Like I said, the big game here tonight, as far as the NFL is concerned, the Thursday night game. So I'm kind of excited about that. Of course, it's the NFL. You got to be excited about that here on a Christmas. I know this sounds horrible when I say it, but I just wish it was football on Christmas. However, we will go ahead and we will stick with the fact that there's only NBA. And we'll talk a little bit about the NBA as well. However, the San Diego Chargers are taking on the Oakland Raiders tonight here at about 7:30 in about an hour. I don't know how long we're going to be on the air or whatever the case may be, but I had some time. I just got home and took care of a little business in the yard, and so I decided to, you know, got my Christmas shopping done. So, you know, I decided to go ahead and reward myself. So that's a show here on Christmas Eve. The wife is out, and the kids are out. They are out at a church service that I could not attend. So since I am home, I decided to get up on air. So hopefully everybody's having a good holiday season here, as tomorrow is Christmas and some good stuff. So let's talk a little bit about some things that are going on. If you read my Facebook at all, you'll know that the Odell Beckham thing is a joke, in my opinion. And I say this because, you know, I just got too much experience, I guess you could say, with the professional athlete, especially in football. I know what goes on. I probably know to my detriment, I guess you could say. Because really, when you think about the situation as far as athletes are concerned, you know, a lot of times you just don't get near them. But I also know their tendencies. I know what they do. And people will say, you know, Sonny, you really shouldn't say that, or Sonny, you really don't know. I do know. And it's not because I'm bragging or anything. I'm around professional sports figures. I'm behind the scenes at the Texas Revolution. Yes, it's an indoor football team, but believe me, there's not much difference between the NFL and the indoor football team as far as attitudes and how things are done. And I'll say this, and the Odell Beckham situation has been really one of those really situations where you take a look at that game, and it started with the first drop from Odell Beckham, and then he decided that he was pissed off enough that he decided to make an idiot of himself on national television. Lots of people talking about it. But a lot of things that were huge in this game, and Odell Beckham just lost that. He lost what was going on. He dropped the ball, literally, cost his team 6 points, cost his team the victory. And I'm going to tell you this. This is really simple. This is a guy that was so mad that it was his selfishness that got in the way of this whole game and the reason why you've seen him playing the way that he played. He didn't care that he was his team, okay, had a horrible record that they got, are on the verge of making the playoffs if they win this football game. Instead, he decides to take it on his own shoulders to be so selfish that he costs his football team next game. I believe that. Now, granted, Carolina Panthers were all over their ass. They came back into this game and everything else. But Carolina, you know, really in reality, I just think they took the foot off the gas. And that's the reason why they're in there. I believe that. But you're still looking at Carolina, you know, undefeated here. Not too many teams in the NFL do this. And Odell Beckham wanted to be the one. He wanted the glory. He wanted the attention. He wanted the Sports Center moment of the one that broke this team's undefeated streak. He wanted to be the story. And you can tell me whatever you want about Odell Beckham. Oh, you know him and everything. I just don't believe it because I've hung around with him too much. And this cop-out story coming up, they were throwing homophobic slurs at me. Listen, Odell Beckham, and I'm willing to bet, and I actually got a little money in my pocket because I haven't paid my mortgage next year. So I actually got money in my pocket. I'd be willing to give every penny. This is how confident I am. I'd walk up to Vegas with every penny and put it down on whether or not Odell Beckham called somebody the F word in the homophobic term. I'm willing to bet that. And as a matter of fact, I would roll it. And I bet you he calls his teammates and the teammates that, or the team that they play against, the guy defending them, I bet you he called them the N word. And that's how much I don't believe this crap coming from him. It didn't bother him, and if it did, he needs to get his head into the game. I've hung around with too many of them. As far as athletes are concerned, professional athletes, to not believe for one second that he has done the same thing that he was accusing them of, using the homophobic F word. I know, and they probably call each other that just hanging around the house, just chilling, playing a video game. And I'm sorry, I'm just calling him out. He's a liar. And maybe that's wrong of me to say. But I'm going to tell you something. I've hung around with him enough to know. And that type of diva at the wide receiver position, oh, yeah, without question. Now, you can slam me, 347-215-7497 is the number to get on. But I'm going to tell you that's what's going on here. And the fact that someone called him the F word, yeah, I don't buy that it even bothered him. It was a desperate plea. It was something different, by the way, as well. Baseball bats. Give me a break. I'm just not falling for this crap. And here's another thing. Tom Coughlin defending this for that reason. Forget the fact this team sucks. Forget the fact that he can't get his football team a win. That right there, him supporting Odell Beckham, should be reason enough to fire this guy. Now, I don't know. I might be, but I'm going to tell you, as far as Odell Beckham is concerned, I don't believe him for a second. I don't believe he hasn't used the homophobic F word to other players as well. And I don't believe for 2 seconds that he doesn't call his black friends the N word. I'm sorry, I'm not falling for him. He's too much of a diva, and I've hung around sports figures long enough to know that what's supposed to happen on the field and everything, that everybody, I'm telling you, this is something that happens on a day-to-day basis out on the practice field as well as the game. They call each other names, they get under their skin, and believe me, any football fan or football player or anybody within the realm of the NFL knows this is going on too. They just do the politically correct thing and don't say it. I'm telling you right here that it happens. And it happens on the NFL football fields. It happens in indoor football fields. It happens in professional sports. And if you believe, and if you're naive to believe that doesn't happen, or they don't call each other the N-word, you go ahead and live in your fantasy land. Because I'm going to tell you it happens every practice, and when they're hanging out at home playing video games, they call each other the homophobic F word and call each other the N word all day long. I'm sorry, they do. And I'm calling them out. I'm sick of it, personally. But that's what's going on here. It was an excuse for his bad behavior. And I'm glad the NFL decided that they wouldn't go ahead and treat him like a kid. You know, you ground him and then 30 minutes later they're out. I'm glad. Because that's sickening in itself. When I first read the, I put up a post that, some, you know, someone said that it was going to come out the other way and it was going to win the appeal. And I'm glad he didn't. Because that is just crap. If that would have happened.
You didn't know?
Let's bring him in.
Your ass better call somebody.
That's right, your ass better call someone on Christmas Eve. It's the fine co-host of this program. It's Cuervo. Happy holidays, my friend.
Same to you, Sonny. Happy holidays to you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm jarred. I'm jarred up. It's like I've had about, you know, 9 cups of
it
coffee.
Sounds like
and
it.
I haven't. It's just, I think it's the holiday, and we're talking sports on a Christmas Eve. This is really the way it should be. I honestly believe, you should be with family, but I believe we have to have a sports program.
Absolutely. Well, I'll have one, but I won't have the other. And, you know, there is a game in an hour, so... I can see why you wanted to do a show.
Yep, and I'm going to watch that game even though I hate commercials. I'll probably take the first hour and not be online to see any of the updates, and then I'll sit down so I can zip through the first hour of commercials and stuff like that. That's the way I'll watch a game like that. But that having been said, I want to get to Odell Beckham. I want to get your take up on this. This guy was being schooled all over the football field, by the defensive back there of the Carolina Panthers, and then this whole ordeal. Norman, by the way, that's who it was. Yeah, this whole situation, I think this is crybaby bullshit. And I'm saying it because I'm tired of hearing people making excuses for him, and I've heard that way too much. And if you watched it on Red Zone, I know you did. You seen all that nonsense that was going on the football field there, Cuervo.
Yeah, and, you know, and for everybody that's saying that it's solely Beckham's fault, from everything that I saw, I don't see it that way, okay? Because it takes two to really start, you know, a controversy. Now, I've heard a lot of different things as to why Beckham was so fired up for that game. You know, he heard racial slurs, he heard, things like that. And you know what? What I would say to that, Sonny, is Odell Beckham should have been a bigger man and realize, oh, I see what you're doing.
Yep.
You're trying to piss me off so you can get in my head and, you know, create these problems. And I'll be damned if he didn't fall right into that trap. That's just the way I look at it. People may disagree with it, and people may say, well, Odell Beckham's just an immature guy. My thing is, I think the problem is he's an extremely talented football player. And I was wrong about him, and I'll admit it, Sonny. I told people at the beginning of the season, don't fall for Odell Beckham. He had a couple of brilliant catches in his rookie year, but don't fall for it. And I'm going to tell you, I've got a tray full of crow sitting right in front of me because I'm doing one of your
Yeah, I know. Sometimes that's hard to swallow, too.
Yeah, and I was wrong. I was wrong about him. But here's the issue, Sonny. I don't think Odell Beckham knows how to handle the competitiveness in other people. See, because imagine... Okay, let me ask you a question, Sonny. So everybody is sitting here saying it's 100%... Odell Beckham was at fault for this. So let me ask you this. What if the Giants were playing Seattle that day and Richard Sherman was the one that he kept giving it into? Then how would we look at it then? I guarantee you people will say Sherman is the one that instigated everything, because that's how people look at Richard Sherman, because he's an instigator. And he's,
good point.
So what it is guys like that, all they're doing is trying to bring out the competitive nature in you, and Odell Beckham did not realize that, and he took it way too personal, I think. And
yes,
he let his actions take over. He let his emotions take over. And now we have the situation where the Giants have to play a critical game without him. I mean,
yep,
think about it. The Giants are, I think, what are they, 8-7 right now? Or 7-7, and fighting for a division. And now they have to go up to Minnesota and play again without him.
And that's the huge thing. The whole thing when it was happening, he went on selfish mode. He didn't think about it. I mean, that's another thing about this guy. Now, by the way, I want to hop back to you, you know, as far as what you said. And I get what you're saying, but I disagree with you. And the reason why I'll disagree with you is that, yes, I think this is all Odell Beckham's fault. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I do. Okay, this guy's been playing this game for a long time. This is not the first time he heard that stuff coming from other defenders. I'm sorry, it's not. And I'm not buying it. I'm not buying this is the first time he heard someone call him that for it, you know, in a homosexual derogatory term. I'm not falling for it. He was looking for the excuse to get out of it. Now, you are absolutely right. This football team is actually 6-8. They took the loss. They would have been in a better position at that time. They would have been 7-7 if they would have won that football game. Instead, they go ahead, they take the loss, and I'm gonna put it out there. I'm putting this all on Odell Beckham. And the reason being, first of all, he drops the 6 points, okay? That was an easy six. And I'm going to tell you right now, that would have turned that game completely in a different way. However, he dropped it. So now it went into the Panthers' way. And I'm telling you, as soon as that drop happened, that is when Norman got into this kid's head. And like I said, it's not the first time he's heard this. So what the problem is Odell Beckham didn't – what I agree with you is he didn't understand the competitiveness of the guy on the other side of the football field on how he was going to get into his head. And that's how he did it, with the combination of that first drop. And I'll say it. You know, that had the potential of being a different football game if Odell Beckham got that first catch in that first quarter. It would have been a different football. Now, I'm not saying that the Carolina Panthers wouldn't have won, but I would think that this game would have went into a different direction, and there would have probably been – it probably still would have been a close game at the end. But you add 6 up on that, if you can. Obviously you can't, but you add 6 on it, they win that football game. So this is solely on his shoulders, and the problem is that he didn't realize that was totally on his shoulders. That drop actually cost him that football game, mentally, physically, and in the scoreboard. So it all stemmed around him. I know it's easy to point the finger at him, but in this case, it's so easy because there were so many different things that defined the situation and how it played out for the rest of the game after that first drop. So like I said, I don't know if they would have won that football game. I think it would have been totally different. I think they would have been up, because there were a couple other drops later on in that game, not necessarily by Odell Beckham as well. So that drop got into everybody's head. They were like, oh God, we're already behind. And Carolina took advantage of and this is what it is, a team that it's not mentally focused, or this football team would not be 6-8 today.
Yeah, and you know, you're right, Sonny. But you don't think Beckham regained his composure? I mean, he did.
No.
He did catch a big touchdown in the fourth quarter. But, he started making plays in the second half and in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I mean, if he really was affected the whole game, I don't think he would have been able to regain any type of momentum. So, I don't know, maybe, I guess we look at it differently, but.
And that's, you know, okay. That's the good thing about this show.
Exactly.
And we look at it a little bit. I look at it, he cost his football team three personal penalty fouls out there, 45 yards in penalties, never mind field position. You know, there's a lot of things that went in there. And, yeah, he made a big catch in the fourth quarter. He did. I'll give him that. But that was also at a different – I think he would have had a monster game, a bigger game, monster game, if he would have caught that first pass. Frankly, I'll tell you, I think they might have won that football game because they went into this game, I think, mentally focused because they realized what the situation was and where they were. And when that drop cut, it screwed this young kid up in the head. And then Norman knew it. And Norman took full advantage of the situation, which he should, let's be honest. I mean, that's his job. I mean, he has to do anything and everything to get in the head of the number one wide receiver on the other side. He's covering the number one. He's got to figure out a way to stop him. And in reality, he did. So, you know, it's a bad situation that happened because now Washington is in the situation. They're in the driver's seat right now. Washington wins this week. They're going to win the division. And that is going to be, you know, the Washington Redskins, for God's sake, is going to win this division. And that should be that should tell you right now where the NFC East is. I mean, the Washington Redskins. You and I at the beginning of the season said the Washington Redskins had no chance. And by the way, before we go much further, since we're talking about it, let's jump on Kirk Cousins really quick. I think that the Washington Redskins are going to fall for this whole thing. And you're looking at a guy, if they franchise tag Kirk Cousins, this guy's going to make $17 million there, Cuervo. $17 million. Kirk Cousins worth a franchise tag?
No, I don't think he's worth that much.
Thank God, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Well, I mean, you'd have to be on some serious drugs to actually think, somebody like that is worth $17 million. I could see 10. Okay, I could see 10. But 17 is a lot. Now, whether he tries to ride the coattails on having a couple of good games and trying to make a big paycheck out of it, that's something that the Redskins are going to have to identify. But as we all know, Sonny, it's the Redskins, and if he tries to, I mean, which is probably
find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, they always do.
Something that they could be very used to doing. They do it all the time, making bad decisions. You know, now granted, you know, let's be honest. I mean, they gave the money to RG3. They're expecting him to do more, and I don't think very many people argued with the fact of what they were going to do. That having been said, if they fall into Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins should just laugh his way all the way to the bank. But you know, that's a different situation. He's a player, so he thinks he's worth that money. So it should be interesting. So interesting thing going on here tonight, as it is Thursday night. It is Christmas Eve, and there is a game going on. And we might as well jump into that, as we'll talk a little bit about this game of what's going on. So let's do that. Let's hop into this game tonight as we are about ready to – let me hit this button right there – as we're about ready to go into Monday or Thursday night football. So let's do that. There's the button. Here it comes. And let's go into the preview. Let's talk a little bit about this game. The San Diego Chargers, 4-10 on the season. They're fourth in the AFC West, a god-awful football team. Why, I don't know. Now, on the other side, 6-8 in the AFC West, Oakland Raiders at home. Now, this game, I look at this game, and I see what's going on. And, you know, the Oakland Raiders, I mean, this team finishes 8-8. They're not. I think they're pretty much out of it. I'm pulling up the standings right now. I don't think they can make the playoffs in the AFC. And the main reason why is you take a look at some of the other teams. Pittsburgh at 9-5 right now. So they pretty much clamped them out of there. And the Kansas City Chiefs at 9-5. So pretty much they've been clamped out. But for Oakland, this is a big game, and I'll tell you the reason why. You are now playing for your job with Jack Del Rio. You got to prove it. And this is the perfect game. Even though really this isn't going to make very much in the standings, it's going to make a big impression on Jack Del Rio because this is a division game with nothing on it. So you got to go out and perform for Jack Del Rio if you're part of the San Diego or the Oakland Raiders there, Cuervo.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to finish the season strong. But let me ask you something. Do you really think that Jack Del Rio's playing for his job? Because here's my thing. Okay.
No, players are playing for Jack Del Rio so he can keep them on this team. Jack Del Rio is fine.
Okay,
I was saying the players had to play for Jack Del Rio for their jobs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's going to be some guys that might get moved in the off season, and it could be for the better. I mean, right now you got to admit the Raiders are moving in the right direction, and that's why I had to double check and make sure you weren't talking about Del Rio losing his job, because if I told you okay, Raiders playing the Chargers, one team is 6-8, the other one's 4-10. One of them has 3 offensive Pro Bowlers, the other one doesn't, you're going to automatically think, well, the 6-8 team with 3 Pro Bowlers is San Diego, right?
Yeah, well, exactly.
The point I'm making is Raiders are moving in the right direction with
Jeff
Del Rio as their head coach. So when I thought I had heard you say that Del Rio's playing for his job, I almost dropped my mouth, my jaw almost fell on the ground, because I just don't see how you can go from being a franchise that the Raiders are to, well, you know, we're going to be going deep in the postseason. You know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
These things take time. Franchises, it takes time for franchises to turn around. So, I hope the Raiders realize that with a guy like Del Rio, who had a history with the Oakland Raiders, they should probably keep this guy around. He's got this team moving in the right direction. They got them a nice young quarterback, a couple of good young receivers. Well, Crabtree's somewhat young still, but
he's
signed
a big deal too, Cuervo.
Yeah, so and it's good to see that somebody's actually playing for the money that they're worth. It's good to see. I like seeing that stuff. So, and on top of all that, you know, you got a nice defensive piece in Khalil Mack that you can build around. So, but tonight, you know, this game tonight, Sonny, is all about number 24. You look back on Charles Woodson's career, and you have to at least put him in. I mean, at worst case scenario, if you're really old school and you want to put other guys in your top. Woodson's a top 10 defensive, back of all time.
Absolutely.
And tonight's all about him. So it's his last home game. There's been talks about him playing offense and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize him and how they pay their final respects to Charles Woodson in Oakland.
Yeah, and that you're right. That's another thing up on top of this one. Like you said, both franchises also vying for quite possibly a move, whether it's Oakland, whether it's San Diego. Other rumors, obviously, St. Louis moving into that new stadium. So nothing has been solidified on who's going to be where. So that's another story up on top of it. So those three teams are all likely to be, you know, right there as far as the franchises to head on over to L.A., and it's probably as soon as next year. So that could be something that's very interesting as far as where that's going to be. Now, the Chargers, you know, they're 4-10. They stopped the five-game losing streak last week as they got the victory last week, 31-14 over Miami. You know, that was yet another game that was kind of crazy as we watched last week up on Red Zone. The Raiders, they're 6-8, and – you know, Oakland for L.A., they've done that once back in 1982 as well, so before returning back to Oakland in 1985. So, the, you know, some interesting, you know, side stories, and the side stories are not about the game because neither one of these teams are in contention, which would have made it a much better game because, really, I look at the San Diego Chargers. It's so inexcusable that this football team is 4-10, Cuervo, and that's my problem. I look at this game, the Chargers should be in the thick of it. The Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, without their star, just ripped, it started ripping the meat from the bone when they lost Jamaal Charles, and now they're sitting pretty for a playoff spot, a wild card spot in the AFC. The Chargers should be right there as well. And that's my problem. You've got a good quarterback. You've got some guys around him. What is wrong with this football team? As far as you can't say it's offense. You can't say it's defense because you know. Yeah, sometimes it's Rivers' fault. Sometimes it's the defense. This is a whole football team that needs a step up in motivation, I think.
Yeah, I can't really argue against that, Sonny. I mean, to me, it does seem like this isn't the same team with the same type of fire that they play with. It just kind of feels like they go through the motions throughout games, stuff like that. So maybe it's just time for the Chargers to start rebuilding. You know, I mean,
yep.
Trade, you know, maybe they should have traded Rivers when they had the opportunity. But they didn't, and now who knows what his value is in the trade market. It may not be very much, so I don't know that the Chargers are going to have a lot of work to do in the offseason. And, you know, I mean, they're probably going to get a top five pick at the end of the
yep.
season, so they'll finish with a top five pick. So, you know, you take that, you see what you can get for Rivers, you see what you can get, you know, for – some other guys I've heard. I've even heard Eric Weddle's name in trade rumors. So, to me, I think that's exactly what the Chargers need. They just need clean house, start fresh, and, you know, with that top five pick, try and get the best quarterback that they can. I mean, it's slim pickings in college this year. I remember we talked about that at the beginning of the season. Tarvin and I, we were talking about the quality of quarterbacks coming out of college this year, but I mean, that's the way to do it, Sonny. You have to, if you're going to clean house, you got to clean house, and that includes finding a new quarterback.
Yeah, and by the way, this is a football team that's going to be without Melvin Gordon because of torn cartilage in the knee, so he's actually going to be sat down. Torn cartilage in his left knee. The 15th overall draft pick is going to be done for the rest of the season, which is a good thing because you don't need him out there to make anything worse than what it already is. So Melvin Gordon is going to be sitting in this football game. There's not a lot to talk about this game because of the fact that no one's in contention for anything. But here's the thing. Both teams have got to play better. And here's another thing. No one, like you said earlier, Cuervo, no one was expecting the Oakland Raiders to be, you know, 6-8 up on the season right now. I think everybody had them squared off at about 4 victories at most. But the huge thing about this football team is they are moving in the right direction. And what I think ends up happening is you got to get them up on the, you know, I'll use an old railroad term here. Get them on the track first. And then see if you can speed them up to, you know, get across country a little bit better, a little bit faster. But first of all, you got to get the locomotive on the track. And I think that was what happened when they hired Jack Del Rio. He is the conductor. He got him on the track. Now he's leading them in the right direction. Now let's see if they can speed up to be a better football team. And I think they are a better football team next year. However, you're looking at this division, Cuervo, that still has the Broncos in it. It still has a Kansas City Chiefs team that never seems to go away. I mean, a lot of people, you know, put a fork in Kansas City after they lost their main running back. And by the way, don't forget about the, you know, the Oakland Raiders. This is a hell of a division for them to start, or the Chargers. So don't forget about that. I mean, you're talking about a football team that is in a very competitive division in football. Some teams have success, some don't. Some that are having success that you don't expect to have. So this division next year, Cuervo, I think is going to be one of the better ones to watch, because most teams are going to have to move forward. It all depends on how far, if the Denver Broncos take the step back.
Yeah, if they do take it back, then I think this division just got a whole lot more interesting. You know, like you said, I mean, the Raiders are getting better. We'll see what San Diego does. They might not be in the picture, but it could be between, honestly, next year, I could very well see the Chiefs and the Raiders fighting for this division next year.
Yeah, and here's another thing. Denver right now, they're 10-4. They're not out of the woods yet. Kansas City is gnawing on their ass, Cuervo, and that is something that Brock Osweiler is going to have a situation as far as where he's at. You take a look at the Denver Broncos right now, 10-4. Kansas City, they've won 8 in a row, and they are going to be sitting right now as far as, you know, where they got. They got Cincinnati this week, Cuervo. That's not good for them in reality. This week, because that's a Monday night game, by the way, so that everybody's going to be watching that. And right now, Peyton Manning has been out on the practice field, but they're not giving him the go-ahead to move forward, Cuervo. So, you know, right now, depending on what happens, if Kansas City gets the victory this week, you know, and the Denver Broncos take the loss against Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's missing their quarterback, that's going to be a really good game next on Monday. But you got backup quarterbacks in the starting lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be, instead of Manning versus Dalton, it's McCarron versus Osweiler. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this game plays out. But, I mean, considering the fact, I think both teams with their backup quarterbacks have looked really good. I mean, obviously we've seen a lot more out of Denver's backup, but A.J. McCarron did a pretty good job against, a weak San Francisco team. He wasn't horrible, and it doesn't hurt to have a guy like A.J. Green on your team. So,
yeah.
You know, in reality, I think that, you know, this is going to be a true test of what kind of team do you truly have. You know, do you just hide behind the talent of your quarterbacks, or do you really have a good, solid, all-around football team?
Yeah, and looking at, by the way, just to let everybody know, the Bengals have Denver, and they have Baltimore last week. The Broncos obviously have Cincinnati this week, and they finish with San Diego next week at home. So, I mean, this is the game, I think, in reality, that is going to, you know, make some major pushes, because when you look at the standing, Cincinnati 11-3, they can afford to lose the game. They've already clinched their division. So they can lose the game. This is more about, you know, gaining that home field advantage going through there. Looking at Denver, they're 10-4. Kansas City 9-5. And this week, let's see, I'm looking up here. Kansas City has Cleveland at home, so Kansas City probably going to win this week. There's some big time pressure on Denver to get the victory here tonight, Cuervo, and they're going to do it without Peyton Manning.
And like you said, I mean, they're not out of the woods yet, but neither is Cincinnati. So, I mean, really, in reality, both of these teams need to win this game. They really need to win this game for security in their own division, and also to position themselves in the AFC playoffs. Because, I mean, honestly, there's a big difference between being the 4 seed and the 5 seed, or the 3 seed and the 5 seed, or whatever. Because you don't want to start, I mean, it'd be nice to start the playoffs with a home game.
Yeah.
In all reality. But if you go into the last couple games with the attitude of, hey, we're in already. We clinched the spot. Who cares if we win? You know, doesn't normally work out very well for teams like that. They normally go one and done because they've let off the gas, and it's hard to get it back in motion, you know, for one game. Just a lot of times it doesn't work.
And by the way, I'm just doing some real quick research as we're here on the Couch Potato Sports Show talking about this. This AFC North division is huge. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, they're 9-5. They're second in the AFC North. They're a couple of games behind Cincinnati. So Cincinnati getting this win really helps their point in as far as obviously the standings and everything. And I'm trying to figure out who St. Louis or Pittsburgh has the last game. I'm trying to pull that schedule up. But that also having been said,
well,
when you look at do you know who the Steelers have next week?
They're playing Baltimore on Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean next week.
They, I believe, are going to be playing Cleveland. They're going to finish the season out against Cleveland.
I mean, all three of those teams have, you know, that are in there, the Browns, Denver, and the Steelers all have a, you know, easy route in reality to go for the last week. So this week is vital for all those football teams because they should get the win in week 17 by looking at their opponents and what they're doing. That having been said, if you are that football team, you got to have your head in the game in week 17 in reality, or you're going to have someone's going to be disappointed by the time the end of this happens, because I'm looking at the standings right now. Cincinnati probably going to win their division. Right now, Houston's primed to win it, but they can always drop out of that situation. They can drop two games just as well. It could be Indianapolis. Only one team coming out of the South. The West, Denver and Kansas City probably have the wild card right there. So in reality, this is all about positioning when it comes time, like you said, the home field advantage going into the first weekend, or whether or not, you know, right now it looks like the byes are going to go to quite possibly, you know, obviously New England. Let me just check and find out what this is. Here it is. Okay, New England right now, they have clinched the division and right now are trying to get home field advantage, which no one has been able to establish yet. That having been said, if the New England Patriots win this week, they will wrap up home field. So that's going to be huge. And let me see, the Patriots right now, they get the Jets, so they're in a dogfight on Sunday, Cuervo. So looking at that, I mean, it's pretty much It's pretty much already set. It's all going to be about positioning, who's going to be a wild card, who's going to be division champion.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we all expect New England to probably finish with the one seed and home field throughout the AFC playoffs. But from there, in all honesty, Sonny, I would say there's still, in my opinion, about three, maybe even four teams that can grab that two seed. So, in all reality, you know, a lot of times we see teams that have clinched already, or they already know that they're going to make the postseason, they start to relax. I think this year is going to be totally different, especially in the AFC, where, you know, I mean, the Steelers could take that two seed. The Bengals have a chance. The Broncos have a chance. Even Kansas City has a chance. So
yeah,
those are four teams right there that could grab that two seed, which means, you know, that's a guarantee at least one home game.
Yep.
So to me, I think it's important, and I think it's important to continue to play at a high level if you're, you know, you obviously want to continue to move on.
Yeah, you definitely playing at a high level because, especially at this time of the year. Looking over on the NFC side, Philadelphia and Washington and New York. Right now, Washington 7-7, 6-8 for Philadelphia and New York. That's still up in the air. Only one team going to come out of there, I think, in reality. Looking at the North, Green Bay has already clinched the division, by the way. Is that a Y next to that? No, Minnesota could actually get in there. But I think Minnesota and Green Bay, one of those teams are going to be a wild card. Carolina's already clinched the division. I don't think Atlanta's going to get in. I think only one team from the South. Then Arizona has wrapped up the division, and Seattle has got one of the wild cards. So that has already been determined. Seattle's got the wild card. The question is who's gonna be the other wild card? Is it gonna be Green Bay? Is it gonna be Minnesota? So the NFC I think is pretty well wrapped, except of course the NFC East, because you never know who's gonna win that division over there. I don't think Atlanta still has a shot at this. I don't know. They're out of it. So as far as getting a wild card, because Minnesota beat them, and Minnesota loses out, they'd have the same record, 10-6. So that's what I think ends up happening, or 9-7. So that side's almost pretty well figured out. This is going to be an interesting game, because we're going to have to go down to week 17 in the NFC as well to find out who's going to, you know, actually end up with those home games.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I think even the teams that are playoff bound, and they know they are, I think they're still going to play at a competitive high level. I think it makes for a great last, 2 weeks of football, in reality, because who really likes to see, watered down weeks 16 and 17. I know I don't.
Yep.
And I'm sure everybody listening likes to see competitive football even the last few weeks of the season. So that's why I'm glad that these teams are still fighting for position, because, it takes away from the quality of the game the last few weeks, so.
By the way, Sunday Night Football is a good game, by the way, Cuervo. Sunday Night Football, a great game. The Giants, who are vying for the playoff spot, and Minnesota, who's trying to win the division or trying to get better spots for the wild card.
It is, Sonny. I just hope, for the sake of listeners and people that are going to be watching, it's a nationally televised game. I just hope. For the fans' sake, that they don't just absolutely beat up this Odell Beckham story. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm serious. But God, what else is there to talk about?
There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I agree with you, Cuervo. There's a lot of things to talk about, but Odell Beckham is going to take this whole thing. He's going to be the main story. That's sad.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's going to take away from what's really an important game, like you said, for both of these teams. But you know what? That's just the way it goes. When you have a big story like that, I think we should do an over-under bet of how many times are they going to show the clips of him and Norman going at each other from the game last week.
Well, it's going to be at least three. Hold on. It'll be one in the pregame show, one in the first quarter, one at halftime, one in the third quarter and fourth quarter. It's got to be five. The over-under's got to be at least five.
Maybe
we'll show
it
in the postgame show.
Yeah, we'll set it at three and kind of just see what happens from there. But
way over.
But man,
way over.
Yeah, yeah. And even better than that is we actually get a good quality Monday night game. That's where the stinkers have came is Monday night football. So you have the Saints and Saints and Lions last week, and then you had like the Browns and Ravens the week before that, or a couple weeks ago, or so. Now you get yourself a nice quality Monday night game between two teams that are, like I said, they know they're playoff teams, but do they want that home field advantage at least for the first round? Who wants it more? Really, is going to be my motto, at least for the AFC side, is who wants it more? Who wants that two seed? Who wants that home wild card game? We're going to find out.
Some other news out there. Ben Edwards was signed to take Odell Beckham's spot out on the football field. Also, more news, and this one's huge as far as this week is concerned, and I'm talking about the Colts. Andrew Luck is not going to be in the lineup this week, Cuervo, and they got Miami in Miami. This is a huge game for the Colts. Is obviously, you take a look at the standings over there. The standings, you know, for the AFC South, they have Texans right now on top, and the Texans this week, they have Tennessee. That's a game that very easy Tennessee can win, and Houston could be, you know, I just don't trust Houston at all to win football games. Same thing with Indianapolis, but this is a must win for Indianapolis this week, Cuervo.
It is, Sonny. I just, you know, with the loss last week to Houston, though, now you got to wonder, like, you know, is Indianapolis going to even try to win this game?
Yep.
You know, or are they just going to be like, well, guys, it was a good run. Hey, Coach Pagano, good luck and whatever happens next, because you're not going to be here next year. Like, I don't know. I mean, I've heard Matt Hasselbeck is in pretty bad shape. So, and that surprised me. I thought, and we talked about it last Sunday during our pregame show, was that we had expected there was no
Charlie
doubt
Whitehurst.
In our mind we were going to see Charlie Whitehurst. And,
yep.
Well, he once again did what he does best. He held that clipboard, and we didn't see
yep.
him. So
yep.
I just wonder if we're going to see him this week or if we're just not going to ever see him again.
Yeah, I don't know that he's. It just all depends upon that whole situation. By the way, earlier this week, and just to hop back up on Odell Beckham because I forgot to mention this earlier. And Tom Coughlin. Okay, Tom Coughlin. This guy is on so much of the hot seat. It's unbelievable. With the Odell Beckham situation, that didn't help him. Then he defends Odell Beckham, which, you know, I don't know if he should or not. If you're a coach, you got to say you can't let your football team, you know, players do what he did regardless. And I think that's, you know, I think that was a uh-huh. mistake. Tom Coughlin is out. And I'll tell you, if they don't make the playoffs, he's definitely out. And even if he makes the playoffs, I think Tom Coughlin is gone. I don't know how you can keep that guy, but then again, Marvin Lewis is still the coach of the Bengals.
Yeah, so stranger things have happened. That's very true.
Kinda,
I don't know.
Crazy.
I mean, yeah. Let's see what happens. We've been calling for Marvin Lewis's head. We've been calling for Tom Coughlin's head. We've been calling for a lot of people's heads, and sometimes, you know, they just keep guys around for whatever reason. You know, sometimes they say, like, continuity is the key and it's important. Yeah, at times. But sometimes you wear out your welcome. And I think in Cincinnati and in New York, for those two coaches, I think it's time to make a change.
Yep. Well, and Jeff Fisher, by the way, rumors have it that he is safe. I don't know how that happens, but we talked a little bit about that up on Sunday. By the way, Falcons running back Tevin Coleman, okay, running back, was placed on the NFL concussion protocol after slipping in the shower and hitting his head. I mean, man, that's some bad freaking luck right there. I mean, that right there tells you, I mean, Atlanta just doesn't have the luck of the Irish in any way headed their way. I mean, this guy slips in the shower and he's on the concussion protocol. It's sad.
Yeah, it is, and this is just a freak accident that kind of just happens. I mean, it's just, it sucks. Like, I don't even know how else to describe it. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's a crappy situation.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. So tonight, I mean, pick the winner. I successfully picked San Diego to get the victory last week. But you know, this Raider game, you know, last home game for the Oakland Raiders this year. I mean, San Diego on the road, not very far away. I think I'm going the Oakland Raiders here, Cuervo.
I think I'm with you, Sonny. I think I like Oakland as well. You know, especially if they make it about, you know, Woodson tonight, and they go out there and they want to get him that win. I think they can make it happen. So, you know, go out there and win it for Woody. That's what I say.
Yep. You know, go out there and do it, and do it at home, because that's always nice to do as well. Because you take a look at a lot of things. By the way, just really quick, games on Christmas Day are only coming from you from the NBA. ABC gets the Bulls and the Thunder, and then they get the Cavs and the Warriors. On ESPN, they get the Spurs and Rockets. So we got three NBA basketball games headed on. Are you going to be watching the NBA on Christmas there, Cuervo?
Yeah, probably. I mean, there won't be much else to watch. So I'll see. I mean, honestly, I haven't watched a single Bulls game yet. I've watched nothing but highlights and you know, I've read some articles about how they're doing, and you know, this was my worst fear. My worst fear is actually happening. This new coach is a guy that a lot of people are questioning, Sonny, as far as the way he does things. And what I was afraid of is, again, I mean, these two coaches, you know, Thibodeau and the new coach Hoiberg, they're like night and day. You got one guy that is, you know, got the aggressive attitude and he's all about defense and he's physical, you know, physical type play. The other guy is more of a finesse, little more laid back and let's go out there and try and hit three, but not as physical. Well, now you see the result of the change in this team. And it doesn't sound good at all. A lot of people are really starting to question this new coach. And I told you from the start, Sonny, I didn't really care this hiring. So, again, as a Bulls fan, this is like my worst nightmare. So I'm kind of wondering
why they even let Tom Thibodeau go. I mean, you're missing vital guys out on the basketball team. Really, there's only so much you can coach up. And when you got the pussy willow over there that it is, you know, one Derrick Rose, that you're missing out on your quote-unquote superstar. And he did a great job a couple years back in the playoffs, you know, with nothing. I mean, I don't know how this team even got – I mean – what is the situation? How did this end up happening? I mean, from my understanding, Thibodeau was dismissed. He was fired. So I'm just kind of trying to figure out what Jerry Reinsdorf's his thinking is going on getting rid of a Tom Thibodeau right now.
Well, it had nothing to do with Mr. Reinsdorf, Sonny. It had everything to do with the fact that he just wasn't he wasn't John Paxson or Gar Forman, the GM. He wasn't their cup of tea. There's a lot of bumping of heads and clashing internally. So, you know, it's just kind of like the Jimmy Johnson situation in Dallas in the 90s with Jerry Jones.
Good example.
I mean, they were successful together. They won championships. I mean, the Bulls didn't win championships, but they were successful. But they just couldn't get along off the camera. And that's what you had with Thibodeau and then between Paxton and Foreman just weren't getting along. So, you know, as good as it was with Thibodeau, it's hard to conduct business when you're not getting along with your employees or you don't like the boss that you're working for. So that's why the change had to be made. And that's and it was the same situation even when the Bulls were winning titles with Phil Jackson, him and Jerry
right.
Krause. That relationship went south. So that's why they knew going into that 98 season that it was going to be the last year.
Cuervo, just really quick, the Golden State Warriors are 27-1. The San Antonio Spurs are 25-5. My God, you got two great teams going on there, and the closest team that is even close is a 7-loss team in Cleveland, and then a 9-loss team in Oklahoma City. But I watched. I don't know. I've been watching Oklahoma City, Cuervo. This is a team right now that's sitting on top in the Northwest in the third right now in the third spot. I don't think this Oklahoma City team. I don't think they're ready. I mean, they have the guys, but these guys still are either A, not getting along, or B, there is just something wrong with the fact that you can't get Michael Westbrook on the same page with your superstar in Durant. I don't know how that happens. I know they are. I mean. I've been watching them, Cuervo. They are either A, they're not up on the same page, or no one even, or B, no one gives a shit. And that's one of the problems. I think that when I look at this football or basketball team in Oklahoma City, that no one cares. I mean, the continuity of the team is not important. No one and I think this is I don't want to place blame, but more in the fact that I think this is Kevin Durant's fault. Kevin Durant should have took over this basketball team 3 years ago, and he pussyfooted around to where it is now. He let Michael Westbrook come in there and take over that basketball team, and right now they just don't look good, Cuervo.
No, and that's why I think either, you know, Durant or Westbrook needs to go, and I think the guy that's going to wind up leaving is Durant.
I think so, too.
You know, it, you know, this is a situation where both of them want to be the 1A guy. So you got the 1A and then you got the 1B. So both of them want to be the 1A. Neither of them want to accept the 1B role. But that's the only way you're really going to be successful. I mean, you look in the past with all the great duos in NBA history. You had the one guy that played the 1A role, but the other guy was okay and he accepted the role as the 1B of the basketball team. So, but when you have two guys that want to be 1A, it's just not going to work. Just,
yep.
I mean, you sometimes you can see it when they're playing.
Absolutely.
Either Westbrook will just totally ignore everybody else on the court, and everybody tries to get their shots in, or you know, Durant will do the same thing. Like it's a situation where they both want to be the number one star on the team, and it's just never going to work. So I think for the Thunder's sake, if Durant says he wants to walk, let him walk.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, Cuervo, I had a couple extra minutes. I only could do an hour, but I figure I'd jump on and we talk a little bit about the game. The game is going to start here in a couple minutes, and I've got some things I got to do, obviously taking care of the last-minute Christmas stuff and getting that all done. So, but it was good to get you up online, my friend.
Yep, same here, Sonny. You take care, and so does that mean we're still going to be on Sunday?
We are going to be on Sunday, and I'm actually going to be on Sports Talk with the guys Saturday morning. I'm off on Saturday, and we are going to be up on Sunday, and who knows, I might even, depending on how bored I'll be tomorrow, because my kids are getting on a plane early in the morning, we may do this again tomorrow, so we may be up on the air. Who knows? I'll keep you informed, okay?
Sounds good, Sonny. I'll be waiting for a message or something from you.
You betcha. We'll put it up on the Facebook and we'll go from there. So that's going to do it for us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. As I guess we found out that Cuervo says happy holidays from Kuwait, huh? Well, good luck to you over there, and keep safe, my friend. Is that what you posted?
Yes, that is what I posted. So the secret agent man is no longer a secret.
Yeah, I see. Was it okay for you to put it out or no? Did you accidentally put it out?
No, I mean, as long as I don't give an exact, like, location.
Gotcha. Well, no wonder you said you've seen a lot of sand over there. So, yes, Cuervo over in Kuwait, definitely take care, and hopefully the troops and everybody is safe and they have a good holiday as much as they can out there. So we'll keep you in our thoughts, and that's why I want to do a show tomorrow, just so you guys have something to do as well. So maybe we'll be able to get up on air. I'll keep you informed with that one. That's going to do it for us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show here on a Christmas Eve edition. We're out of here, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.